Hey, let me give you once again an idea of what we're doing. We always study in great detail, and yet I think it is very, very important for us to be able to say the book of Philippians is about this. And say it in perhaps one sentence. The book of Genesis is about this. And so we're going to pick up on details tonight, but also look very broadly at the whole book. And when we finish tonight with Genesis, that will be it. There will be no next time. Next time will be Exodus, and so forth throughout all of the Bible. Also, at the end, you will have some handouts. I will introduce some sections that we could go laboriously through that are interesting and important, but I'm going to have someone at the back and the front, like Tenley and Nancy, is that you two? They have the handouts now. They are promising to hold them very tightly and not look at it. I have a thing about speaking, and that is I like to have eyeball contact. And when you pass out handouts, everybody takes them and does what? And here's your audience with everyone having papers in front of them. And I want you to have them, but they'll be here at the end. Then also tonight, you will receive at the end a laminated business card. And on the front part of the card, it says Genesis Memory Verse. And we'll talk about at the end the verse I want you to memorize. And below that, it will say comment. And the comment will give the context, so we will not be memorizing out of context. On the back, other significant passages. You should be able to find, for example, the Proto-Evangelium, Genesis 3:15, the Abrahamic Covenant, Genesis 12, 1-3, and below that, the tape number that covers this material. So you should go out with this, and also with a Bible fast-tracked notes tonight. And in between that, we'll be looking at the book of Genesis, and you take whatever notes you want to do. All right, let's begin then with the theme of Genesis. The theme of a book is often found in its title. Now, in English, we have titles to books like Gone with the Wind, and then we have the text. The Bible does not do that. In the Bible, part of the name of the book is found in the opening words. Now, if you have an English Bible, mark in them the opening single word, if you care to mark, or mentally mark the opening words. The theme or the title of the book of Genesis is In the Beginning. In the beginning, in the Hebrew Bible, is the word Bereshith. Bereshith. And it is the custom in the books of the Bible to take the first word of the book and say, that's the name of the book. We're studying Bereshith. Bereshit is a Hebrew word made up of a preposition in, and then reshith is first, beginning, opening, or something of that sort. This is the opening of the book. And so the inspired title then is In the Beginning. Now, you may want to take the word Bereshith, that means in the beginning, and point it up to the title you have in your Bible. And the title you have in your Bible is Genesis. The original title is In the Beginning, and the title of the book is a transliteration. And it is a transliteration in Greek. And it is called Genesis. Now, Genesis is very, very similar to In the Beginning. Because if you would look at your own life, you mark off the beginning of your life by what word? Your first birthday, or the word birth. Now let me take the Greek word genesis, and show you that that word simply means beginning or birth. Look at Luke 1:14. And you have in this passage the name of the first book of the Bible, chapter 1, verse 14. And predicting the birth of John the Baptist, we have verse 14, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his genesis. Same word that you find that opens the book of Genesis, and it's translated what? Birth. So this is a birth, the birth of many things. The book of Genesis is a book of births. It is a book of origins. Now we've titled the tape tonight a little differently, because we could say Genesis is the book of origins. But the minute we think of origins, our mind goes to good things. The origin of the heaven and the earth, the origin of the plant life, the origin of man. But we need to make that complete. The book of Genesis is the book of births or origins, both good and bad. Origins. Good and bad. And that's the reason I do not stop at simply the book of origins. Because our minds might say, well, all the wonderful things begin or are recorded in the beginning of Genesis. And that is not true. It is the root of marriage, but it also is the root of sin. It is the birth of marriage. It is the birth of sin. So our book then, to summarize the theme, is it is the birth or the origin of good and bad. I cannot emphasize that more strongly, that all 66 books, 65 I should say, rest on Genesis. For example, Genesis is the beginning of the universe, the beginning of the earth, the beginning of man, the beginning of sin, the beginning of salvation, the beginning of nation. It is the foundation for everything else. And may we add this, since Genesis is the foundation on which the rest of the 65 books of the Bible rest, their content cannot be fully understood without it. Now let me put on a little scenario tonight and simply say to you, we're going to study in God's Word the subject of marriage. Parenthesis. You cannot do it without Genesis. But let's suppose we said, let's turn and let's do that to Ephesians chapter 5. And we begin in chapter 5 with verse 22, wives. Verse 25, husbands. And you can see from looking at Genesis 5:22 down through the end of the chapter, you have teaching directed to wives, and you have teaching directed to husbands. And you say, there is our teaching on marriage. No, it is not. Because Ephesians chapter 5 does not give the what of marriage. It does not give the origin of marriage. And so, here's what we have in many, many subjects. In the book of Genesis, you have the subject of marriage as to its origin, its foundational concept. And that subject is mentioned many, many times in other scriptures. But they're all, I think this is the good word for it, they are all incidental. They are all incidental, or they are all additional, or they are all, if there is such a word, expansional. Incidental, additional, and merely expansion of the book. What is the one single key passage on the origin of marriage? Look at Genesis 3. And looking at verse 18, here is the original, basic, foundational subject on marriage. And it begins in verse 18. The Lord said, here is the origin of the whole concept of marriage. I will refer to it in Ephesians. I will refer to it other places. But it is always back to origins. And notice in 18, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. And this is basic, basic, basic teaching on the subject of marriage. It's basic here. Its origin is here. It is repeated elsewhere. Now, is that a sound principle? Whenever we see the Bible elsewhere referring to marriage, should we always go back to Genesis? When we see the teaching in Ephesians, in Colossians, should we always study it and go back to Genesis? Well, may I repeat, the issue in teaching is always back to Genesis. Look at Matthew 19. They ask him a minute question concerning divorce. And as an answer to the question, his reply is, you want your answer to divorce? Three words. Back to Genesis. It is the origin book. And notice in chapter 19, some Pharisees came to him, testing him and saying, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause at all? And he said, answered and said, what? Back to Genesis. And he goes back to that third chapter. Have you not read your origins book? Have you not read the book of beginnings? That, and he quotes out of the original passage in the book of Genesis. So whatever subject you come up with, we need to say this. Genesis is the foundation on which the rest of the 65 books rest, and their content of all of those books, whether it's on marriage, nations, etc., always says one thing. You cannot understand what these books are saying if you don't go back to foundations. And Genesis is the foundation book. Now, I look at this sentence in my notes, and I have in it a sentence that I don't like, I didn't want to put here. It makes me back off, and it makes me seem radical. But everything that man has to say about origins is contradicted in the face by Genesis. Takes guts to believe Genesis. Who is man? What's man's basic nature? Discuss it in class. And Genesis says, basically bad. Does that contradict anything you've ever heard? Why, the earth came about as an evolutionary process, and Genesis says, no. In the beginning, God created. Why, many religions of the world and peoples of the world believe in polygamy. They have many wives, and that's the way they see it. And Genesis says that is not the way it is. And I repeat, and we may see this other places tonight, everything that Genesis says about origins, man contradicts. Did you know that Genesis literally in the first verse wipes out every world religion, every world philosophy? Now you may say, I don't believe it, I don't believe it. Well, that's all right if you don't want to believe it. I'm not saying that you have to believe it. I'm just saying, hey, I can read, and here is what is there. So the first word that we've got that introduces the theme of the book of Genesis is the word Bereshit. The second word that is used to introduce the theme of the book of Genesis is the word tholados, tholadoth. Now, I don't mean in any sense to do this in a smart aleck way, but every prof that you've ever had that has ever criticized the Bible knows nothing about the Bible. I repeat, every prof you've ever had that throws a broadside comment against Genesis, you may confidently stand to your feet. Don't do it. You may confidently stand to your feet and say, sir, you do not know what you are talking about. Now, in case I sound like I'm being smart aleck, did you know that the book of Genesis has a structure built into it? You see the little word tholadoth. The book of Genesis is put together with an opening statement followed by 10, and I'm just going to put a T, 10 tholadoths, dividing each one into its own section. Now, if you've got a translation, there's no way that you can trace through all of the tholados. But you have a little bit of a handle on it. And that is, it's translated, these are the generations of. But let me take that word tholados a little bit further. It is the word Yalev. Should I turn it around? Yalad. And you can see here the L, the D, and the oath on the end. And I know that may not make any sense. But the word Tholadoth, these exact Hebrew letters, mark off 10 sections of the book of Genesis, and it means to give birth. To give birth. Or, these are the generation of, or this is the history of. This is the history of. Did you know? And I'm not making this up. I can show it to you in the text if you want to see it from the Hebrew Bible. Did you know there is no book in all of the Bible that repeats to you more times? This is history. Forget about all the rest of the books of the Bible. Is this history? There is no book that says more. Now let me ask you this. Do you know any statement more often made to you than Genesis is not history? It's a bunch of stories. The creation is not history. Adam is not historical. And say that if you wish. But I can stand literally to the side. And it's not coming from me. I can take you to passage after passage that begins, this is the history. This is the history. Everything that man says about Genesis is contradicted by Genesis, which makes you think believing Genesis takes more than just mind. It takes guts, because it is standing up and saying this is all wrong. Now, I'm going to hand these to you because I don't want to take the time tonight to go through the this is the history of. But here on our handout sheet for you, I have put those sections down and you can look at them. Let me briefly. This is the history of, Toledoth, heaven and earth. Section 2:4 through 4:26. Number two. This is the Toledoth, the history of Adam. 5:1 through 6:8. Three. This is the history of Noah, the Toledoth of Noah, 6:9 through 9:29. And you have following 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 more. And they end with the history of Jacob, 37:2 through 50 verse 26, the last book of the Bible, of the, not last, a chapter of Genesis. Does the Bible claim to be history? Does Genesis claim to be history? And the answer is absolutely yes. Now you may say, I do not believe that. But I love what I was taught once in college by a prof who said something like this. He said, you may choose to reject the teaching of the Bible. But as a person who attempts to be academically respectful, shouldn't you reject it with integrity? And shouldn't you be able to say, yes, it says, this is history, this is history, this is history, this is history, but I don't believe it. Thumbs down. It's wrong. If you do that, I tell you, my hat's off to you. I don't agree with you, but at least you're what? You're academically honest because you're dealing with the text. And I say once again, most who say the book of Genesis is not history, I don't care how many PhDs they have, one thing they do not have. They have no academic respectability because you are not looking at the text. If you look at that and say, I see it, it's history, it's history, it's history. But my opinion, it is fiction, fiction, fiction. You have the right to do that. But I would say this, you don't have the right to say that without looking at the evidence. Fair enough. Shouldn't you look at the evidence? And if you have rejected Christianity, have you done it with integrity? Have you said, I see the evidence? I've looked at the evidence. I've read it all. But thumbs down. Isn't that fair? Okay, I'm splitting a gut on that one, aren't I? Okay. All right. The Word of God always has order. And if we'll look to this, these sections of Toledoth, we begin with number one, the opening section, which has to do with creation. Chapter 1, verse 1 to 2:23. And I'm being sabotaged tonight. I said this will be 1 hour, and it's been 10 after 7 since I started class. That's not fair. Where is my dinger? Where is it, Jane? Yeah, I've gone 25 minutes already. This is the congregation that I love, but I don't trust you any farther than I can see you. Okay, and I'm set to ding at what? 5 minutes? Okay. Huh? Oh, okay. Well, whatever. The opening section is the creation of Genesis. Now, every one of these 6 days has an order to it. Each day has anywhere from 5 to a minimum to 7 parts. And since has 5 to 7 parts. In other words, it's put together in a certain way. Okay, the 5 to 7 parts, and you may listen to them and not write them because they are on the sheet here. That helps tape too. Okay, here is the form or the crucible in which it is put. Every day will have 5 to 7 of these parts. Number one, it will have an introduction. It will have a fiat. It will have a fulfillment. It will have an action. It will have a blessing. It will have a satisfaction. And it will have a terminus. Now, let me give you a sample. And again, you don't need to write these down. I've got them here. And if you want to look them up, you'll find them. They will be there. For example, number one, the introduction. And this occurs in every day of creation. And God said, no exceptions. Introduction. And God said, no exceptions. Number two, the fiat. Let there be. Let there be. And I've got passages with those in the handout. Number three, the fulfillment. And there was the action. And God made. The blessing. And God blessed. The satisfaction. And God saw that it was good. The terminus. And the evening and the morning was day one. And then day two. And then day three. And so forth. So notice that each one are put in a particular order. Often very brief. Day one. Fayi. Let there be light. Fayi. And there was light. Or Yahi. Yahi. Vayi. Yahi. Let there be light. One word. Vayahi. And there was light. Very short and crisp and to the point, as though it seems as though God said, Yahi, that in Hebrew means let there be light, Yahi, and what do you say? Va-Yahi. That means, and there was light. That's all he said. Yahi, Va-Yahi. Short, crisp, but doesn't that show the power? That's why it's called a fiat. God did not argue or reason. He just said, let it be. The fulfillment, we went through the rest of them, but this is under the presentation of the days of creation. It's there. It's in the text. If you want the evidence, here it is for you. Okay, the thesis then, bringing this thing down to a conclusion to open with, to conclude the opening, the thesis of Genesis is the record is history. Toledoth is the reminder, just like a hammer, over and over and over again. And the basis is bara. Bara is the word that is translated in the beginning, God created. Bara. And the verse and the word taken in all of its context does mean to create ex nihilo. To create ex nihilo. Ex nihilo, Latin for out of nothing. In the beginning, God made from nothing the heavens and the earth. There's an expression in English of a metaphor or a metonymy, and they all design or express figures of speech. Well, in the Hebrew language, they have an expression that means everything. It's called a merism. And a merism equals totality by extreme. Totality by extreme. Let me give you a merism in English, though it's not part of our language. If you want to say you conducted an investigation and left no stone unturned. I have looked. How do you do it? Totality by extreme. What is it? High and low. Be sure to look left and right. That doesn't mean do not look behind, does it? Or before. It's a merism. And it's extremes that indicate the total. Or I think of you, give me a merism. Day and night. The opposites, extremes to express a total. In the beginning, God created everything. What's it say? Heaven and earth. And heaven and earth is the merism that means God created everything. Now, let's take that word or that idea. And how am I coming? I'm really trying to do this.
35 minutes.
Oh, good.
Not 35
minutes left. 35 gone. Okay, got all kinds of time. All right, now let me introduce, and we've already felt a little bit of it, the conflict that the book of Genesis introduces. And the book starts with Bereshith Barah Elohim. Did you hear that? Bereshith Barah Elohim. And starting with those words is like dropping a bomb. Because those words, well, we should go a little further. Barah, Bereshith Barah HaElohim, Va'eth HaShemayim Va'eth, Va'eretz, I'm sorry. Hope you're not offended by my Hebrew pronunciation. Okay, conflict. Number one. The book of Genesis stands in complete conflict and contrast to all world religions or philosophies. I guess you really got to say, Genesis really makes you look bigoted. It really makes you look bad. You may say, I don't want to look bad. Well, trash Genesis. It's easy. You can burn it. But if you take it seriously, it does really trash everything. First of all, before we've gotten beyond Bereshit Bara Elohim, you have just trashed atheism that says there is no God. So you gotta kiss atheism or kiss Genesis. Goodbye. In the beginning, God, it trashes polytheism. Atheism, there is no God. Polytheism, there are many gods. And what trashes every one of them? In the beginning, God. And it translates or eliminates fatalism, blind chance, fatalism. Whatever will be, que sera, sera. Fatalism is wiped out because in the beginning, God created something. It denies evolution, not with sophistic argumentation, but it says in the beginning, God created. Now what it says? So there goes evolution. In the beginning, God created Hashemayim v'haaretz. He created the heavens and the earth. It eliminates pantheism. Why? Pantheism makes no distinction between the creator and the created. It's all the same. A tree is a tree, a tree is a man, is a tree is a child, is a dog is a tree. I'm quoting Al Gore. It trashes pantheism. God, a person, created heaven and earth, the object. Do you see the subject-object relationship? Subject-object. There is a distinction between creator and the creation. And therefore the whole system of pantheism dies on the sword of Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What is the philosophy that says matter is eternal? Materialism. And so thus goes materialism and the political system with it, called dialectical materialism, which is known as what? Communism. Is dialectical materialism viewed philosophically from that standpoint. But so what does Genesis, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, take all those things that are gone? They're gone. Now you may say, bigotry, not true. Go ahead. All I want to say to you, it's there, isn't it? It's in the text, is the point. Genesis with regard to philosophy, Genesis with regard to man. Where did man come from? What is the basic nature of man? And here we go into Hegel and Kant and Hume and who knows what else. And no, I'm not ignorant of them. I've read them. But I've also read Genesis. And God says, let's make man in our image. And that's often called, what is man? He was created in the Imago Dei. Imago Dei. There is what Genesis says about man. He is created in the image of God. Genesis 1:26. And it says in chapter 3 another thing. What is the common view of man? He is the uprising of something lower. And every day we are getting better and better, and man is improving century by century. If you don't believe it, read history. And in all the recorded history, man has had about 200 years of peace. But, hey, it's around the corner. It's close. We've got the plan. Tuesday's the day you vote. Vote for progress. Vote for me. Because man is under the sick, sick delusion that he's getting better. You see, we're not getting better. We're getting more sophisticated. We don't bald-faced lie. We just, I love the words, I think, of Lincoln, who once said to a group, he says, I do not want to hear the words of lawyers. I want to hear the words of truth. Smart old guy to be back that far. Did he foresee? I don't know. That's not the point. But the book of Genesis presents this, that man is fallen from greatness. He is fallen from greatness. He is the rubbish of something once great. You can illustrate it by the person in Africa who has never seen an airplane. And one has crashed into a mountainside, and he looks at it and sees all the rubble. And he looks up in the sky and sees another one going overhead. And he says, oh, look what this rubble will someday become. And that's the way man looks at it. Now, you say, well, boy, is that ever pessimistic. Well, in that section of chapter 3 that talks about the fall of man, we have, and it's on the back of your little card here tonight, we have the proto-evangelium. That means the first good news. And it's Genesis 3:15. To Satan he says, you have wrecked man, but a man will come, one man, the seed of woman, and he will crush you to smithereens. And therefore we promise the fallen man a great, great salvation. How about the origin of, or the Bible with regard to nations? And I know my time is creeping, but let me give you that. The nations, man believes in, his great hope is what? Internationalism. We'll all get together. And they said that in Genesis 10, where you have the table of nations. All the nations are there. And in chapter 11 says, you're all trying to get together, aren't you? I'll pull a good one on you. I'll make of all of you a different tongue. And I listened to a lady on TV and getting ready this morning to come in. And she was from, I don't know, some South American country. And she had beautiful English. She spoke it well. Better than the news people do. But she spoke it well. But I can tell you, you didn't learn English. Can you tell? You have a certain brogue characteristic that you just never, never get through. Have you ever been to a Chinese restaurant that understood plurals? They always have an S on something, and they're not stupid. They're brilliant people. But language is the one single confusion. And God came down, here's what I think of your United Nations, the first one, Genesis 11. God came down and scrambled their language so much. Everything that man believes to be so is countered by the book of Genesis. It takes guts to believe Genesis. Okay, let me recommend to you, because we're going to put this down in terms of an outline for Genesis. And the outline, I think, will be easy to follow as it breaks into several parts. Now, when I talk about an outline or structure, I don't mean something that you impose on it. I mean something that you draw from it. And in the Bible, you have all kinds of structure. And I was going to buy tonight a Hershey bar, almond bar, and say, this is one bar, isn't it? And open it up, and what would you immediately see? It's one bar. What? Divided into all little sections. Well, it's only fair to a writer